Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, God's Plan for Responsibility, a Purposeful Role, from the series Family Fortified, and examines God's intentional design from stars to humanity and how your identity reflects his divine plan. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
Everything that is designed has a purpose. When a designer designs something, he designs an object or he designs a creation, it has a purpose for why it's being designed. Everything that's designed does, whether we're talking about a watch or a car or a picture frame or a seat, everything is designed for a purpose. We understand that a watch is not designed to drive you someplace. We understand that a car is not necessarily designed to fly you somewhere. We design things for specific purposes. And even in that purpose, when we see something that's designed, even designers have special reasons for why they design the very thing that they design. So you can design a watch for the purpose of being very inexpensive and easy to purchase and easy to wear. You can design a watch that's $70,000 that you can wear on your wrist as a showpiece. The same is true of automobiles. You can buy a very inexpensive used car that just gets you from point A to point B, or you can spend upwards of hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy a vehicle that does more than get you from point A to point B. It gets you there much, much faster with more luxury involved in it. There's all sorts of different ways that you can do it, but you have to understand when something is designed, it is designed with a specific purpose. We have been taking a look in this family series that God is the one who designed you. And when he designed you for a very specific purpose. He gave you all your gifts and abilities. He gave you all your weaknesses. He has purpose for your life. But as we've been talking specifically about family, we started in Genesis chapter 1, and we talked about how he designed you. He designed you in his image. The most important thing about every human being that's designed is that they're designed with the Imago Dei, which is Latin for the image of God. Intrinsically, you bear his image. That's why all people are valuable to God. And that very first week, we took a look at that. We also took a look at how God created your purpose when he designed you. And he designed your purpose by giving you your gender. That's what we talked about. And so God created two different genders on day six. He created male and female, both in the image of God, both equal in value before him, but both genders had a specific purpose. And guess what? They still do. God still has a purpose for your gender. It is normal for a young person, prepubescent or going through puberty or coming out, why was I created a boy? Why was I created a woman? Those are normal questions. We just have to look to the Bible for the answers rather than to our culture. Amen? And so today what we're going to talk about is, as we've been talking about how the dominion family and how the family is designed for dominion. And last week we took a look at God's plan for marriage and a vow for oneness. Today we're going to take a look at your specific purpose with your gender within the family that God's going to have you create. Now, it's really important, and I've set a foundation for us. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 33. And while you're turning there, I just want to highlight what we've talked about so far, because if you haven't heard our series, you can go back and listen to it online. But we talked about God's plan for dominion, which was a covenant family. God cares most about family. He told Adam and Eve, the first command, be fruitful and multiply. Like, have lots of babies. Why? Because you're going to be image bearer creators, and then those that are growing up, you're going to show them how to give me glory and honor so that we can multiply that all over the planet. That's why family is what God cares about the most. That's why there's such an attack in the culture and always has been from the Garden of Eden until now on the family, right? So God designed the family and he designed it in a specific way. Last week, we talked about how family gets started, and it's through marriage, and we talked about a vow to oneness, and you have to understand this before you understand what we're going to talk about today. Because we talked about last week, when a couple comes together, before they say their vows, they live as individuals. Once they give vows before the Lord and in a community of people, and a priest, a pastor, officiant says you are now husband and wife, God no longer sees them as two individuals. God no longer sees them as two people that live really close together. God sees them as one. And you need to get this picture firmly in your mind. He no longer sees you as two, but as one. That's why it says, we say often in the service, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Let nobody separate what God has put together. And we told you last week, as singles, you understand that there's this great temptation to come together sexually, physically, morally, financially, before you get married, because there's this pull from saying, no, you can do it, just come together. Once you become one, the lie of the enemy is to do everything he can to pull you apart. And he uses trials, he uses temptations, he uses challenges of sickness, of finances, of children, of job considerations, every other thing that can go on, extended family stuff, to try to get you to pull this apart. And the most important thing you can do is keep this together. So last week we talked about, how do you keep this together? How do you show the image of God as one? And we talked about valuing one another, preferencing one another, trusting one another, praying and interceding for one another, forgiving one another. And we said those are things you can begin to practice even as singles, but in marriage you get to put them on full display because you have opportunity all the time. Now here's why this is so important. If you don't get this, you're not going to get what we have been talking about today. If you don't get oneness, you're not going to understand roles, because all the roles that God gives to men and women in a marriage comes out of this oneness where both are equally valuable to the Lord. And can I just tell you, our culture hates this topic, absolutely hates what I'm going to teach you. In other words, here's what I would even say before we begin today. In order to believe what I'm about ready to tell you, you must be born again. You have to be born again. If you're not born again, this teaching from the Lord is going to tick you off because it's anti-culture in every possible way. You have to be filled with the Spirit to be able to apply what I'm going to teach you today. So let me just start with the gospel. The greatest news that the Bible highlights is that God is perfect, holy, righteous, and good, and you're not. And the reason you're upset with who God is because of you. It's not a problem of his. He's perfect. He's awesome. He's wonderful, merciful, kind, loving, benevolent. God is incredible. He's a righteous judge. Here's the problem. Because of your sin, you're separated from him. You don't have a relationship. You know when that started? When you were conceived. Nobody's born into the family of God. Everyone's born separated. And from the time that you come out of the womb until now, you've demonstrated in a myriad of ways, a track record that says the person you care about the most in this world is yourself. Some of you have done that in a prideful way where you kind of hide it. Some of you have done it in insecure ways where you've hide it. Some of you have put your sin on full display where everybody knows it. Doesn't matter. The Bible says it's not that you're a bad person. You're a spiritually dead person. And what Christ has done is he came to this world, the second person of the Trinity, who we're going to talk about today, who came to this world. He fulfilled the law. He did what you couldn't. He honored his Father the whole time he was here. He became incarnate flesh. He lived. He fulfilled the law. And then he went to the cross and in your place died for all your sin. He laid down his life. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He didn't die because he was a religious zealot. He didn't die just to prove that he died for you, to restore glory to his Father and to pay for all the sin of the world. Then he rose from the dead, authenticating, I told you I was God, because nobody conquers death, but I've conquered death. And then he offered life to anybody who would repent of their sin and trust in him. So there must be a belief that you're a sinner. You must acknowledge that. You must then turn from your sin, say, I'm done with my sin, and I'm coming to Christ, and in Christ, he's the only one I need to give me life. And when you turn from your sin and turn to Christ, we call that being born again. And for those of you that have been born again, that's who this message is for. And when you hear this message, you're going to realize there's a lot of truth to this, because when we start talking about gender roles in a family, our culture hates it. I mean, just look at it. If men are to be the head of a family, what does the world think about that? I mean, every sitcom, every movie, all you have to do to be a bestseller is to make the husband, to make the dad, a total idiot that everybody makes fun of.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Plan for Responsibility, a Purposeful Role, from the series Family Fortified, examining God's intentional design from stars to humanity and how your identity reflects his divine plan. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
If men are to be the head of a family, what does the world think about that? I mean, every sitcom, every movie, all you have to do to be a bestseller is to make the husband, to make the dad, a total idiot that everybody makes fun of. Everybody loves Raymond. God doesn't love it, right? Al Bundy, God doesn't love it. I mean, if you have the male figure who doesn't know what's going on in his family and what's going on in the world, that's a buffoon that everybody can make fun of, people say, that's hilarious. It's not hilarious because so go the men, so go the family, so goes the family, so goes the church, so goes the church, so goes the world. So men, you play a pivotal role in all of this. And if you don't believe it, I mean, just watch the Olympics. I mean, for Pete's sake, do I need to address that? Having drag queens like celebrate Leonardo da Vinci's portrayal of the Last Supper to celebrate stuff going around. What does that have to do with athletics? It has nothing to do with athletics. It has everything to do with a hatred of God and a hatred of everything that I'm about ready to teach you today. Okay? So understand, when God gives you your gender in utero, that's the gender he intended. And if you decide you want to change that gender, it's because of your hatred towards the Lord and your hatred towards the things of God. And if you balk at the teaching of the Lord, you're balking at the Lord and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just tell you about this. Because before we get to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, right before that, he talks about how to live and not to be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he says this in Ephesians 5:18. I'm just setting up the passage. He says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. So your version may say debauchery, wastefulness, but be filled with the Spirit. What's he saying? Don't waste your time being inebriated. Don't get filled up on something that's going to change all your behavior and control you. That's going to do nothing good for you. You know, when you see somebody who's drunk, they're controlled by a substance other than themselves, and they're acting in a way different than they would be if they weren't filled up with that. He's like, don't be filled up with that, but be filled with the Spirit. Let God be the one that's controlling your life. And if God is controlling your life, this is how you'll live. You'll speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You'll sing and make melody with your heart to the Lord. You'll be thankful. You'll always be giving thanks for all the good things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So you can be super thankful. And one of the evidences that you're filled with the Spirit is that you'll be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. One of the ways that you know somebody's a believer is when they preference other people. And we're not just talking marriage, we're talking in general, consider other people more important than yourself. I mean, one of the ways you know if you're filled with the Spirit is, I don't have to show you that I'm better than you. I don't have to be better than you. I don't have to give you my resume. It's cool. I know who I am in Christ. Therefore, I can serve you. I can love you. I can be okay because I'm comfortable in my own skin because I'm filled with the Spirit of God. And that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. When I'm filled with Christ, I'm thankful. When I'm filled with Christ, I'm worshiping Christ. When I'm filled with Christ, he's my God. When I'm filled with Christ, I'm living for him. Then he gets into roles, as he talks about the family. And the first role he talks about is the wife's role. Here's what he says, verses 22 to 24. He says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. And that's where most women who are married or thinking about getting married sigh. We're going to talk about the S word. It's really not that big of a deal because if you're a Christian, you're going to submit to everybody that you're around anyway. I mean, it's just part of the package of being a Christian. Whether you're male or female, we're submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And now, in this context of oneness, not two individuals, not submit to your husband to come under him because you're too... In this context of oneness, here's your role, submission. So how am I going to learn that? Because if you study Jesus Christ, he's been eternally submissive to his Father. Jesus wasn't created, he's always existed. The Holy Spirit wasn't created, he's always existed. The Father wasn't created, he's always existed. But in the oneness of the Trinity, there's a rank and order. No one's more important than the other, but Jesus has always submitted to the Father. The Holy Spirit has always submitted to the Father and the Son, and they all get along in perfect union, and nobody thinks they're better than everybody else, but there's a rank and an order to how things are going to get done. That's why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. I only do what the Father tells me to do. That's why when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying. He's saying, Dad, if there's any other way, I want to do it, but not my will, yours be done. Why? Because I'm submitting to you. And when people reviled him, he submitted to his Father. He always has submitted to his Dad. Does that make Jesus any less God? No. And so who's your model, ladies, for submitting to your husband? Jesus. You submit to him in all things, right? Because Jesus is the model of that. And why is that so important? Because a non-spirit-filled woman is unable to do that. A non-spirit-filled woman will want to control, boss, manipulate, all those different things, but not the spirit-filled woman. I'm talking to the women that are wanting to grow in Christ, that are wanting to honor Christ, that are wanting Christ to be for them. And here's the reason, and this is true for both roles, but since we're here, let's just talk about it. Say, what's the benefit of submission? Here, I'll give you four. One is it shows your honor for Christ. The only reason you would do it is because I'm honoring Christ and Christ is the one who's asking me to honor my husband. So every time I honor my husband, I am demonstrating to the Lord that I'm giving you honor. How about this? It unleashes supernatural power. When you live in submission to the Lord and you do what the Lord is asking you to do, so when wives are submitting to the Lord and then therefore they're submitting to their own husbands, it unleashes supernatural power. It allows the Lord to go to work. Because here's the problem. In marriage, we always want to fix each other. Husbands want to fix their wives. Wives want to fix their husbands. When you, as a wife, say to God, I'm uncomfortable with this. I've voiced my opinion. I've shared my opinion. It's going a little different way than I want. But Lord, here's why I'm doing this. Because you asked me to prefer my husband. And you asked me to submit. And you asked me to do that. So I'm asking you to get involved in this situation and help that man. Then God does. But if you say, no, I'm going to control him. I'm going to boss him. I'm going to do this. God's like, okay, I'm going to back up. I'm going to go ahead and let you boss him. Let's see how well that works. And by the way, ladies, just point, husbands don't like being bossed. They don't like being nagged and they don't like being complained to. We don't do well with that. I mean, God knows how he designed men and God knows how he designed women. And by the way, you unleash supernatural power. I've told you the story, I don't know how many times, that when we were going to move to Denver, I was so on my heart, like, if we don't move to Denver and plant a church, I'm being disobedient. If we lose all our money, I don't care. I have to do this. But I'm married and I'm one with my wife. And so I'm bringing her along and we're praying together and I'm talking to her. I'm asking her, am I doing anything unbiblical? Are we missing the mark here? Do you see anything? No. I'm like, well, what's next? I'm like, let's take this next step. Let's go to Denver. Let's go meet some of the people. Let's go see what this could look like. We kept taking steps and she's like, I'm not feeling it. She's like, I'm not hearing it. I don't want to go. My whole family, my friends, everybody, they're all in Central Illinois. Why would we ever want to go there? I'm like, because God wants us to go. She's like, I don't hear it. I said, okay. I said, Lord, you've called us together. So you do a work in my wife's heart. And as Kim continued to pray, and she's very close to the Lord, she called me one day and she's like, I heard the Lord today. And I'm like, cool. What? She's like, well, I don't want to tell you because you're going to hold it over my head. And I'm like, I promise you I won't. She's like, what I heard, and I hate telling you, Shaka, I heard that I'm not going to hear what we're supposed to do, that I'm just called to submit to you. And I can tell you, when I heard that, I wasn't on the other end going, yeah. It's not how I felt. I was terrified. Because it immediately sent me back to prayer saying, Lord, are you sure I'm doing the right thing? And are you sure I know what I'm doing? Because if I take my whole family to Denver and this thing tanks, I'm going to look really stupid. So God, you got to help me. You understand? Submitting doesn't give your husband control. Submitting puts him in God's hands. And it unleashes supernatural power in your marriage when you submit. That's why it's so important. It also provides freedom for you to live your God-given identity. God gave you as women an identity that you're supposed to live, and it frees you up so that you don't have to do the things that the men are going to do. And by the way, there's 4 points today, and only one of them's for the women. Men, we're going to get 3. And then fourth, it does this. It allows you to trust the Lord's design. He's the one that established marriage. He's the one that created marriage. He's the one that has a plan for marriage, and he's the one that says this is how it works. So I don't feel any need up to be a PR spokesman for the Lord and be like, I know this is really hard, but it's not. It's impossible apart from the Spirit, but it's required of every single wife. Single ladies, listen very, very closely to what I'm about ready to tell you. If you're dating someone and you would say, I would never want them to lead me, this is a good opportunity to break up. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, don't think you can change him. He ain't going to change when you get married. Wives, can I get an amen? I mean, he's not going to change. He's going to be the same. Now, God can mold him and sanctify him and grow. He's going to have the same temperament, personality. He's going to be the same, and it's only going to be exacerbated. So, ladies, when you're looking for a man, say, I don't know if I could ever. Hey, then look for the guy I'm going to describe here in the next 3 points and be willing to submit to him. And why you are? Because you're submitting to Christ. Now, notice this. We got to be really clear on this, really clear on this. It says, wives, be subject to your own husbands. When you're married, you don't have to be subject to everybody else's husband. You're subject to your own husband. Why? Because the husband is the head of the wife. Now, being subject means to submit, to fall under. It's a military term. It means to have rank and order, to obey, all that stuff. Why? Because he's your head. The head is a high status. It's a superior rank. It doesn't mean more valuable or more important. It's just a different order of things. Let me show you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. We can get there pretty comfortably, can't we? Jesus is my head. There's no question about it. And the man is the head of a woman. That makes every feminist mad. And Christ and God is the head of Christ. I mean, that's the order of things. You say, well, why is that? Verse 8 says, for man did not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Remember women, God created man first. And then God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Why? Because he needs a helper. The boy needs help. That's your role, to help him. And you help him, and there's supernatural power when you're submitted to Christ and you submit to him. In what things do you have to submit to him? Like in what? Well, I love that God makes this super clear. But as the church is subject to Christ, we as a church are subject to him. We're in submission to Christ. So also wives ought to be subject to their husbands in what? Everything. Now, here's why this is important. Because when we do premarital counseling, we're talking to couples and we tell them they're going to become one and it's going to be great. And we start talking about these gender roles and they're like, well, why is that so important? And say, well, there's going to come a time in your marriage when you both love each other and you're listening to each other. And by the way, husbands, I'll talk about this in a minute, but being submissive to your husband, by the way, all this teaching is for the wives. I mean, men, you can just tune out because we're not teaching men how to get your wife to submit. We're teaching wives who are filled with the Spirit how to submit. Do you understand the difference?
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Plan for Responsibility, a Purposeful Role, from the series Family Fortified, examining God's intentional design from stars to humanity and how your identity reflects his divine plan. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.